looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Stores, T-Mobile, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, AceTicket.com, WFXT TV, and Mohegan Sun. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
1-1. That one high and deep, driven to left center, way back. Yes, sir, Mookie Betts. Number nine, he puts the Red Sox on the board. High fly down the left field line. Is it going to be fair or foul? And that ball is gone. His second home run in as many at-bats. Look at Duffy shaking his head. He can't believe it. And the Red Sox are on top. And Mookie Betts is back with a bang. 1-2, a high fly ball, center field, backing up Gordon. He's turning around. Mookie Betts has done it again. His third home run and as many at-bats.
Watch where this pitch is when he makes contact and takes it out of the park. I mean, this ball is up and away.
Home runs in the fourth, fifth, and the seventh. And he may not be done today. And the Red Sox ahead 5-3.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do on the Baseball Reporters here tonight, okay? Because we have not had a full program all week long, and if you are a baseball fan, I know you want to talk about the Red Sox because you care about them, and you should. 617-779-0985. So here's what I want you to do. If you are a Red Sox fan, or a baseball fan for that matter, here's what I want you to do. I want you to wake up from your afternoon nap. I want you to pop in your teeth. Get off your fat ass and call 617-779-0985. Okay, we are going to talk Red Sox and baseball here for the next hour of the program. We're going to start with Mookie Betts in the three-homer game yesterday. I saw this stat, Murray, and I want to get to a phone call, by the way, that I received yesterday on the Felger and Maz show from someone who frankly wanted to take Mookie Betts and shove him, you know, in my face, rightfully so, because I pointed out that I think Mookie Betts in the postseason is a guy you can pitch to. Okay, I think he's a guy who can pitch to. But before I even get to that, let me tell you that I saw this piece of information online. Sean McAdam tweeted it. I'm sure the Red Sox had it in their game notes. Yesterday, Murray, and I think you said this in your headlines yesterday, was the fourth three-homer game of Betts' career.
Correct.
He has now hit three homers in a game four times. He's 25 years old, and he's really not that big, Murray. Okay? So as you pointed out, breaking the Red Sox record set by who?
Ted Williams.
Ted Williams had three homer games in his whole career. Mookie's already done it four times. But that's not the note that I'm talking about. That's not the statistically relevant or the historical statistic that I wanted to share with you. Do you realize that since 1908, 110 years, there have been only 18 players in the history of the game that have had as many as four three-homer games. 18. And only one of them is active other than Mookie. Albert Pujols. Okay, Albert Pujols.
He's mostly a washed-up bum at this point.
Okay, but Pujols, to me, is one of the great hitters in the history of the game. And he's one of the great hitters in the history of the modern game. Pujols, 600 homers. I don't know if he's gotten a 3,000 hits yet. I don't think he has because we would have heard about it. So he's right there on the cusp of both. And Mookie Betts is the only active player other than Albert Pujols to have accomplished that feat, which is no small thing. Which brings me to Alex and Newton, who called the program yesterday and actually called back today because I misnamed him. I couldn't remember his name. But I went back and listened to the call. Here is what Alex and Newton said to me yesterday on the Felger and Maz show.
Alex and Newton leads us off this hour. What do you got on the Sox?
All right, I got to preface this by saying this is probably going to be a pretty petty phone call on my part. But, Maz, I called you a couple weeks ago. We talked about how Mookie, in my opinion, is going to get $30 million a year. Felger agreed with me. You disagreed. And then a few days later, maybe a week later on SportsHub.com, you pretty much wrote an article not saying $30 million a year, but hinting that, yeah, that's probably what it's going to take. So you know, once again, it's petty. I know you're kind of agreeing now that he's probably going to get $30 million a year. I hope you will admit to it. But he's going to. I just got to tell you, he's going to. Your whole thing about pitching him to the outside part of the plate, he can't go opposite field. That may be true, but he's got a long swing. He can actually turn on those balls. The other petty part of my phone call is the J.D. Martinez aspect.
Let's stop him there. We'll get to J.D. Martinez later. So, again, Alex and Newton, this has been my point with Mookie Betts. In the postseason, in fact, anytime he goes against good pitching, I think that teams are going to pitch Mookie Betts in a way that he can't hurt them. And where he cannot hurt them is to the opposite field, particularly at Fenway Park, where he does not have the power to drive the ball into those bullpens. I've said this a million times. If you've listened to this program, you're probably sick of it. Okay, and I can't say I blame you. He has never hit a ball into or over the bullpens at Fenway Park. Maybe he will someday, but it's not anything he can do with any sort of regularity. Okay, so I looked it up today. How many home runs does Mookie Betts have in 7 career postseason games, Murray?
None.
You know the answer already, right? Say it again.
None.
Zero. Zero. How many RBI does he have?
None.
Zero. Zero home runs, zero RBI. And it's a small sample. But the reason why I picked the postseason is this, because that number will change. He's too good a player to not hit a home run in the postseason. But the reason I bring that up is this: is for this. The pitching in the postseason is going to be better, which means pitchers make fewer mistakes. More importantly, pitchers will strictly adhere to game plans. And I am telling you that the book on Mookie Betts calls for down and away, particularly if you can throw a breaking ball off speed out there, a changeup if you're a lefty, if you're a right-hander, a slider, or a curveball. Down and away, because he cannot hit that ball out of the ballpark, and he can't hurt you to that side of the field, especially at Fenway. Okay? Especially at Fenway. And so I went through all of his postseason hits, and this is something that I would instruct you to read with photos tomorrow on the Behind the Seams blog on 98.5thesportshub.com. Again, it's a written compliment to this particular program. No home runs, no RBI, and that's because teams are much more careful about how they pitch him, and they know where to get him out. Now, that said, he's a great player. I want him here. I'm not telling you I don't. But if they try the same stuff against J.D. Martinez or Hanley Ramirez, those guys can hit the bullpens, and everybody knows it. Those guys are better hitters than Mookie Betts is. We'll go to your phones now, and Matt, who's in Sharon. Matt, go ahead.
Hey, Matt, how's it going?
Good.
Good. I totally agree with you on Mookie. Really? I think that him being batted in the leadoff spot is not the best place for him because, like you said, they should be pitching down and away to him. And if he was in golf a bit of position where they have guys on third and second, they have guys on base, and he's already up at bat, and they know I have to pitch this guy a strike, then all of a sudden Mookie becomes a much more lethal batter. They're not trying to get him to hit the opposite field and into the shift. So I don't know if leadoff is necessarily the best place for him right now. I want to know your thoughts on that.
Well, Matt, I'll tell you what. The Alex Cora said apparently after the game yesterday that he has no intention of moving Mookie out of that spot. And honestly, it doesn't bother me that they hit him leadoff. There are plenty of guys that can be productive and effective leadoff hitters. I know that Alex Cora keeps citing George Springer with the Astros. Nomar Garciaparra in his rookie year with the Red Sox batted leadoff, hit 30 home runs. So I have no problem with that part of it. I'm just telling you that with Mookie, even if there are guys on base in the postseason, if teams are smart, they'd prefer to walk him than give him a fastball middle in that he's going to crush. Because if you throw the ball middle in, he will hit it out of the ballpark. And he can hit out of pretty much any ballpark, including a place like Yankee Stadium that has a big left center. Mookie can smash the ball. That home run he hit yesterday was on a fastball away, the third home run. He hit it to left center field, but the ball was up. And so Mookie was able to get the head of the bat on it and pull it enough to get it out of the ballpark. If that ball's down and away, I'm not sure really that he drives it all out of the ballpark. Let me bring in another caller quickly. Nick in Rhode Island, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to ask if you could, the way you say Mookie makes me want to jump off a bridge and claw my ears out. I was just wondering.
As opposed to what, Mookie?
It's Mookie, not Mucky. Thank you.
Yeah, do I say Mucky?
It's a little weird. I get a lot of this blowback on Twitter, Maz.
For me?
Yeah. A lot of people are not thrilled with the way that you pronounce it. It does sound more like Mookie than Mookie.
Oh, I see. Mookie. So I say Mookie, not Mookie.
Correct.
Yeah.
Might be something you want to
say it more phonetically, yeah. Maz. Yeah.
So it's like roof versus roof.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So go home, practice in the mirror, I think is what the callers are talking
about. Okay, so Mookie Betts, is that what you
Mookie.
Prefer? So the listeners prefer Mookie Betts?
Yes, think of Spooky.
Okay, I'll think of that. Because personally, I think Mookie is a hell of a player. 617-779, put that in your pipe and smoke it. I'll pronounce it any way I want. 617-779-0985. I want to get to J.D. Martinez, too. We will do that when we come back.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub. This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Canley Ramirez at first. Red Sox down by a couple in the fourth inning. High fly ball. This one really hit into left field and gone. Martinez with his sixth home run of the season. And the Red Sox had tied the ball game. And that didn't take very long. Number six.
There's a story on the Worldwide Leader today, ESPN.com, by Jerry Krasnick, grading the best acquisitions of the offseason. It gave grades on them. Okay, some were free agent signings, some were trades. J.D. Martinez got a B+, Murray. Okay, B+ for J.D. Martinez and the Red Sox. Too high, too low, or right?
No, that's about right.
Okay, I actually think it's a little low. To me, he's been A or A minus.
He's a butcher in the outfield.
So that part is true.
To use your word.
And Jerry Krasnick has also reported that, and this is getting pretty deep in the weeds in terms of stats, but in terms of percentage of swing and misses, so in other words, the number of balls you swing at but miss on a percentage basis, J.D. Martinez is like 15th highest in the game, meaning he's swinging and missing a lot. And I know a Red Sox fan is going to say, well, so what? Power hitters swing and miss. So then the Giancarlo Stanton swings and misses don't matter? Like, I want to make sure we're being consistent about it.
Fair.
Now, look, J.D. Martinez is hitting .364. Giancarlo Stanton going into today was .240. But Stanton hit two home runs last night, so he has more home runs than J.D. Martinez does. He has 7. Martinez has 6. RBI, Martinez 24, Stanton 19. Runs scored, Stanton is actually higher. So I would tell you in terms of run productivity, if we're going purely based on runs, that Stanton and J.D. Martinez really aren't all that different. In the case of J.D. Martinez, 36, if you obviously count the home runs twice, run scored and RBI together is 42. You subtract the 6 home runs, it's 36. In the case of Stanton, the number's 34. So the numbers aren't all that different. You get to pure run production. Which brings me back to the call I received yesterday from Alex and Newton. Go ahead, Jimmy.
The other petty part of my phone call is the J.D. Martinez aspect. In the offseason, you did not want him because he wasn't a sexy name like Giancarlo Stanton. But I think you're starting to realize he's definitely as complete of a hitter as Giancarlo Stanton, if not more. He hit 45 home runs last year in 119 games.
We can stop there. So, again, saying that my desire for Stanton was dumb and we should already close the book on that. And I'm telling you, it's way too early for that one. Way too early for that one, which brings me to Billy and Waltham. Billy, go ahead.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
So, I wanted to talk a little bit about Eduardo Nunez. I liked the signing when they signed him. I thought he brought like a different kind of mentality to this team that was lacking the sort of talent that he was. And then I don't know if his knee's not right, but he is not only a butcher. He set up like a butcher shop between first and second, and he is just open for business. Like he is out there, I can't watch it anymore. It's disgusting.
Okay, so Billy, we'll get to Nunez. It also says here you wanted to touch on Martinez, so go.
Oh, yeah. JD, what's going on with his thumb? I read earlier there was something about his thumb was hurt. I just didn't know if you knew more about it.
Okay, so I'll tell you what, I'll let you go. Murray, is there anything going on with J.D. Martinez's thumb?
Let me do a quick search, not that I've seen.
Not that I've seen either. So we'll keep an eye on that. He's in the lineup tonight.
Yeah.
In fact, He's playing left field in Texas, which is a smaller left field. And this is what the Red Sox do when they put him in the outfield. They pick a smaller area that they can put him in, and so he's got left field in Texas tonight.
Oh, yeah, so here you go. Michael Silverman of the Boston Herald said, notice how J.D. Martinez shook his left hand repeatedly after his swing and miss in the first pitch of his fifth inning at-bat. He re-aggravated his jammed left thumb. It was wrapped up after the game today. He's been dealing with it for 3 weeks.
Okay, so that certainly hasn't affected him at the plate. The guy's hitting 364, and he's got an OPS in the 980 range or something like that. Nunez in the field. Nunez is a butcher. Murray, is he in the lineup tonight, Eduardo Nunez?
Yeah, he is, actually.
Okay, so this to me is a situation where the Red Sox need to pick their spots. There's a left-hander on the mound for the Rangers tonight, Mike Minor. But now that Bogaerts is back, it would not shock me to see Brock Holt, Su-Wei Lin. And in fact, Lin is, you know, to me, an option to play. I like Lin. I think Lin's a good player. I'd like to see him in the lineup more consistently. The other one that pleased me tonight is Blake Swihart's in the lineup as a DH. I'd play Swihart in left field, but again, we can get to that at a more appropriate time. Ben's in Gardner. Ben, go.
Hey, with Mookie being such a small guy, how long can we realistically expect him to hit for power? I mean, he seems like Dustin Pedroia in that he relies on bat speed. You know, if they're thinking they're going to be paying him max money, you know, 10 years, $35 million or whatever, I just can't imagine him continuing to hit 30 home runs a year once he gets to 30 years old.
Hey, Ben, let me ask you a question just out of curiosity. How did you come up with that question?
Well, you know, he's a really small guy. You look at his frame, he looks pretty small.
So you said that, but I mean, did you have a conversation with someone or it just struck you watching?
It just struck me watching him.
Okay, so let me tell you, I'm commending you, gold star. It's crossed my mind too, and it's not something that people talk about enough. He's not that big a guy, and the small guys tend to ultimately break down. So I looked it up today out of curiosity. Mookie did not have a great second half last year. Now, the year before he did. In fact, in his career, it suggests that he's been better in the second half than in the first, if you take the overall body of work. Nonetheless,
I'm not worried about the height. Do you think Astros fans are bugged out about Jose Altuve?
It's not a question of height.
Six?
Okay, but Altuve's also thicker than Betts is. And so I don't think it's wrong for the caller to look at him and say, he's 5'9", 185 pounds. How's he going to hold up when all of a sudden he's played 1,500 games?
Tony, I have a theory on why his numbers decreased last year and not the year before.
Go ahead.
Batting position. He started the year last year in the leadoff hit, in the leadoff spot, and Farrell dropped him in the order. And as you know, Tony, the pitch selection you get is mostly fastballs leading off a game or leading off an inning. And batting 3-4, you're going to get more breaking pitches, I believe.
So, Jimmy, I'll tell you what, it's an interesting observation. And also, he doesn't like hitting in the other spots. He likes leadoff. And I don't dismiss the psychological element of that, too. But I'll tell you what, I give the caller credit. Because with Mookie, it's something to watch, is his size. He does play a lot of games. He has shown no signs of breaking down or being fatigued at the end of these seasons, not really. But I do think it's something you have to watch with him and take into account if you sign him to a big contract.
So, Tony, once he was moved out of the leadoff spot, he played 46 games, hit 6 home runs. For the rest of the year and hit 253.
Okay, so they've played 30 games now and he's got 11. So that's 253 is also, obviously, Jimmy, not a good number. Ben's in Somerville. Ben, go.
Hey, Tony. Yeah, the other caller was right. You say Mookie like a psychopath. What sound does a cow make?
Moo.
Moo. Okay, good. Mookie, it's not tough. I got a question for you, though. The Red Sox, if we don't re-sign Mookie Betts and he walks as a free agent, who is the last player of that caliber that this organization would have just let go into free agency? Because, honestly, I'm scared to death that they haven't extended this guy at this point.
Okay, so, Ben, before we let you go, were you one of the people who put Ellsbury in that class? Okay, we lost him. Yeah, he broke up. I don't know. You could say Ellsbury, maybe. This guy's a little younger. Ellsbury was what as a free agent? 28 years old, maybe? And to me, he was a guy you let go. He didn't show, but he didn't show the power Mookie did, or has, to this stage in his career. So I don't necessarily equate the two. But it's an excellent point. When the Red Sox have had superstars, more often than not, they have kept them. Jason is in a truck. Jason, go ahead.
Hey, Tony, what's up?
What do you got?
So I wanted to talk about Mookie. And, yeah, he's not a big guy, but I also don't see him swinging from his shoes. I think he just knows how to hit. Now, you'll have to excuse me. My baseball knowledge is not great, so don't come
That's
at
okay,
me guns
Jason.
A blazing.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Go ahead.
Past 3 years, who do you think been a better hitter, Hanley or Mookie?
Well, see, again, I look at it as when at his best, who is the better hitter, and it's Hanley.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you're saying the overall body of work, Mookie has been a better player. Mookie has, and let's just leave the defense out of it. The overall body of work, Mookie's in the lineup more often. Betts is in there, you know, all the time. He runs the bases well. He hits for a high average. He hits for power. There's a lot to like there with him. Murray, you know what the saddest part of this whole Mookie thing is?
What's that?
That the caller said, what sound does a cow make? And I had to think about it.
Muh. To really? Maz, they go, muh. Like, where do you take your kids for Halloween? Spooky World.
So I actually had to pause and say, where's he going with this? Oh, okay, I got it. Like, I had to add two and two together there. In any case, we'll continue with your phone calls. I also want to get to David Price, who's back on the mound tonight, because there is a clear line of demarcation with David Price in terms of good performance and bad performance. We'll get to that.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub. From the field.
You're the one who threw the pitch.
To the clubhouse.
They're a reliever short.
To the corner office.
That sends all the wrong messages.
We have the Sox covered.
Because that's the way I look at it.
The Baseball Reporters on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
My whole hand was, didn't have, you know, any feeling in my fingertips. That's something I've felt before.
We don't know if it was a cold weather or there's an issue there, but he, you know, he couldn't grip the ball.
Can't feel my hands because they're freezing. And jerks like Maz, they think that I am lying. But I just cannot pitch on colder days. And that's a bitch move, is what I hear all you saying. Last year I was great as a reliever. All I heard was cheers instead of boos. But now you're gonna turn on me again. I can't explain it, you would not understand. I just have really cold hands.
My whole hand.
And I can't pitch because they've become uncomfortably numb.
David Price back on the mound tonight against the Rangers in Texas. This one is disaster written all over it. Can I just say that?
Well, that place, I mean, my whole life, that place has been a snake pit anytime the Red Sox go down there.
Okay.
I remember Pedro having a tough time there, too,
so,
back in the day.
It's a hitter's ballpark. First of all, it's a million degrees. The ball carries. And, you know, it flies out of there to begin with. And, you know, the ballpark itself is not the biggest thing in the world. So, you know, you get all these elements there for offense. And tonight, boy, I'll tell you, the day is setting up as a disaster for the Red Sox. As much as it could be on May 3rd. So the reason I tell you this, and just sit tight for a second, I'm going to get right back to your calls. But first of all, the Yankees were ahead 3-0 in the eighth inning today at Houston. Okay? In the bottom of the eighth, the Astros scored 5 runs. And then they went ahead 5-3. So this is the rubber game of the series because they each took one. And the first two games were both low scoring. So then the Yankees shut down the Astros again. They're up 3-0 in the eighth, as I said. Houston rallies, gets 5. They go to the ninth. The Yankees get 3. They load the bases. They get a couple of hits. They score a decisive run, as it turned out, on what was a chopper to third. The Astros went for the double play. They didn't get it. The run scored. They go up 6-5. Aroldis Chapman goes out for the ninth. The Astros get two guys on, and Chapman strikes out Jose Altuve to win the game. So the Yankees win their 1.5 out. Now, David Price goes to Texas, where he sucks. Like,
yeah, I thought it was bad, but what are the splits?
So 8 career starts in Texas for Price. He has a 6.53 ERA.
Jesus.
He has allowed 55 hits in 40 innings. And the Rangers have batted .329 against him with an OPS of .873. And I just want to make sure I get this final number right. They've hit 6 home runs and 8 starts against him. On top of it all, David Price, since the little bit Murray played for you there, the excellent bit Murray played for you there, David Price, since the hand game, is 1-3 with a 6.52 ERA. Opponents have hit .299 against him with a .932 OPS, and he's walked an average of more than 5 guys per game. Okay, 5 guys per 9 innings. So everything points to Price getting absolutely shelled tonight in Texas, if you ask me. But look,
this is a different Rangers team, too. Outside of Beltre and Andrews, this team stinks.
So we'll get to some of those specific matchups, Murray, how some of these guys hit them, because the numbers aren't great either. Dan is in Pembroke. We get back to your calls. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, hey, what's happening, Tony? So speaking of Price, just leading up to the inevitability of him stinking tonight and moving forward and eventually into the playoffs, this is an opportunity, if they have the opportunity to offload the guy and the contract and potentially offload Jackie Bradley as well, I think they can do it with someone, you know, in the National League, someone like St. Louis. They're obviously a National League team. You pair, you know, Price, who is a guy they were interested in during his free agent, time, and Jackie Bradley, who's obviously can bring value to a National League team. You trade, you know, both of them for a guy like Marcelo Ozuna, a guy who got off, slow start out there in St. Louis, but who's a good player, you know, as a right-handed batter. He can play the outfield. You know, you kind of replace JBJ with, you know, another outfielder who can actually hit. And who can play the position defensively, and you move JD Martinez to the DH spot. So wanted to see, you know, what your thoughts were, and, you know, what do you think the appetite is for trading, you know, David Price?
Okay, so Dan, look, I don't dislike the way you're thinking. I just don't know that anybody's really going to take on Price in that contract. And JBJ is not enough. It's not enough. If you're going to take on David Price, you want a good young player. Fine, we'll alleviate you of the burden of the contract, but you're going to have to give us a good young player, too. Unless you eat the money with Price and then, you know, you split the difference or something, maybe you could get someone to bite the bullet there. I think the Red Sox are going to wait on trades until they get to the deadline, and then either Bradley or Blake Swihart is going to get moved. That's what I think. Oh, unless it's someone from the minor leagues. But I'm talking about if you were moving someone from your current roster, the candidates are, that's going to get you anything of consequence in return. The options are Jackie Bradley Jr. and Blake Swihart, and not in that order. Swihart, to me, would get you more. And I bring up Swihart because he's DHing tonight. Martinez is in left field. Benintendi is sitting against Mike Minor, who's a left-hander, and Benintendi's been dreadful against left-handed pitching this year. The move I'd like to see the Red Sox make, if Bradley doesn't start to hit soon, I'd play Benintendi in center, I'd put Swihart in left, and I would DH J.D. Martinez. To me, that's the solution. Bruce is in Cambridge. Bruce, go.
It's Mookie like Bookie. And just remember Mookie Wilson, too.
Okay.
Anyway, the point I wanted to make tonight was regarding catching, because something has happened to Christian Vasquez. He is just not the same player, both offensively and defensively. You know,
well, Bruce, I'll tell you what. Yeah, so I'm not going to cut you off. Stick to the defense because I'm more interested to hear what you say about the defense.
Hello.
Yeah, so yeah, hi, I'm here. So the bottom line is, if you look at his throwing, not as good. Had a number of errors, mental mistakes. The catcher's block the other night was something that you see like once every 10 years. So, you know, I think it's, a problem. And I just don't know whether it's focus or something else.
So,
something physical.
Well, so no, it's a good question. Offensively, to me, I tell you what.
I'm looking at the numbers here, courtesy of Boston Sports Info on Twitter. Vasquez and Leon combined 115 at-bats, no home runs, just 6 RBI, 4 extra base hits, and a 165 average.
Oh, yeah, they've been dreadful.
So bad.
So I think last year was the aberration. I think the fact that they got offense out of Vasquez last year was the outlier. He's not a
and
great
timely
hitter.
Big hits, too. That was weird with that guy.
So what I would love to see, though, Murray, is the stolen base numbers against Red Sox catchers. Because I know early in the year, at one point, they hadn't thrown anyone out yet. And I'm sure that has changed. Again, with the Celtics and the Bruins in the playoffs, I just have not been able to pay attention as acutely as I might otherwise dial in on the Red Sox. But, you know, it does feel to me like the defense hasn't been as great behind the plate either. And the thing the other night was fluky, although Christian Vasquez does have some sort of obsession with his face mask. I mean, he took the thing off in the fight. Remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
And against the Yankees. Was it the Yankees?
Yeah, the
Yankees.
Yes, was the
of course.
Big girl.
Good God. My mind has turned to mush. Jason is in Lowell. Jason, quickly.
Yep, how you guys doing? I have two quick questions. When do you think that we will see Dustin Pedroia, and like, what is the lineup going to be like when he comes back? And how do you think – I got in a Twitter beef with somebody that's a Ferrell lover. I mean, do you think that this team is producing like they are because of the new manager change? Do you think because of everything that happened, do you think that has anything to do with it, with Cora?
Yes, I do. I do. I think that the players hated Farrell and that it weighed the team down and that players did not perform to their peak as a result of it. And that's an elementary answer, but there was clearly tension in there that resulted from the manager. Murray, did you find it?
No. I had an answer on the Pedroia thing, though, because...
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, so Jen McCaffrey of The Athletic had a big piece about him just the other day. So he's rehab assignment with Pawtucket on May 12th. He's targeting May 25th as a return date.
Okay, so I was going to say, I knew it was later in the month, toward the end of the month. And so when that happens, Nunez goes to the bench, plain and simple.
Tony, have your catching answer.
Oh, okay, Jimmy, go ahead. What is the catching answer?
Vasquez has caught 3 of 11 base stealers for 27%. He has 2 pass balls, and Leon is 0 for 3.
Okay. So, obviously, the pitcher factors into this. I need to know exact details, but I'll tell you that number for Vasquez, given his ability, that number's a little low. Ed is in the car. Ed, go.
Maz, big fan, and before I lay into you, full disclosure, if I could trade straight up Martinez to Stanton, I would do it.
Okay.
But to hear you tell people 30 days is not enough when you were dancing around opening day with a Stanton in your pants is just off the hook.
So that's fair. I never said the decision was over then. I was just happy to see the result, that's all. For purely selfish reasons, Ed. But is there anything else you called to needle me about, or was that it?
No, I have a question. Would you take 320 and 30 from Martinez versus 45 and 280 from Stanton? Which would you rather have in your lineup?
I'll take the 280 and the 45, and I let you go, only because I think this team lacks real power, real thunder. And so I'll take the 280 and the 45. I think you'll do more damage with that on this team. Okay, again, the averages now are 364 and 240. But the runs created, if that's how you want to do it, are really pretty close. And Martinez has hit 120 points higher.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.